Rose Perks is brought to you today by Michelle McKibben, who is a California mortgage loan officer with People's Home Equity Mortgage. And you can email her for more information at McKibben, McKibbin, Michelle@yahoo.com.
And our newest premium subscriber, thanks to Megan Campbell. Megan's a Southern California realtor specializing in Orange County market. She can be reached at facebook.com/Megan Campbell Realtor. That's C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L Realtor. Megan Campbell Realtor at facebook.com. You guys, Megan keeps it 100, okay? Hello and welcome to a very special Rose Pricks after the final Rose Pricks. I'm Ronnie Karam from Watch What Crappens, and I'm here with my lovely co-host and friend and also co-host of the Sword and Scale Rewind podcast and For Crying Out Loud. Hello, Stephanie Wilder Taylor.
Hello, Ronnie Karam.
It's such an exciting,
night.
I know. It's such an exciting night. So many homely girls were throwing things across their bedrooms tonight in frustration. And, you know, it's good to have friends to make fun of this with. And we've made a new friend in the podcast universe in the past couple of years. And she's comedian, author, and host of Reality Life with Kate Casey, the Diane Sawyer of reality TV, who always keeps it 100, Miss Kate Casey. Hello, Kate.
I am beyond thrilled to be with you on this very special evening in Bachelorette history.
My favorite thing about you is that I believe you and your tone of voice. Like, I am thrilled to be here. I love my dry ass Kate Casey. You make me laugh so hard.
Ronnie.
I was like, you guys just kid my kids. I'm like, listen, little shits. You guys got to go to bed. Mom's got priorities tonight. I got to see if Rachel gets engaged to the guy that she really loves. So just take an iPad in your bed. I don't care if you're looking at porn. Just leave me alone.
Ronnie, I have to tell you that this season of The Bachelorette brought me and Kate Casey close together. We didn't really know each other before this, but Dean's hometown date brought me and Kate together in a very special way. It was a very special hometown date for the two of us.
Basically, because Dean's dad is basically our dad's.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Dean's dad is nothing like my dad. And if he was like my dad, I would like Barney his ass and just cut him off. And he'd be like, why have I been cut off? Dong, dig along, dong, dong, dong. Like Real Housewives of Orange County. I would have been like, bye, I'm erasing you, Father Mung Bean.
And that's what Kate and I have both done.
Yeah.
And that's how we bonded.
You guys, that's always what I loved best about Dr. Laura, even though she's an evil, judgmental shrew who's going to die miserable and alone. She's like, you know what? Sometimes it's just time to break up with your mom or your dad or your sister.
True.
There's no law that says you have to take shit for the rest of your lives, okay? Dump them.
Yeah. I agree.
So, guys, I think we're going to have a really positive episode. I can feel it. So, since we already did the recap, Stephanie and I did our traditional recap already. But Miss Rachel got screwed because usually there's 13 episodes of this shit. We're at episode 11, am I right? This is episode 11, I think. And instead of doing After the Final Rose, where Rachel gets an entire hour to sit there and like say things like, keep it 100, walls down, vulnerable. This time, Chris was like, we're exhausted. Corinne was trying to sue us this whole time. We had to settle, and we don't have enough money for another episode. So let's just blend them together and have After the Final Rose during the Final Rose.
Okay, great.
And that did start creeping up on me when it was getting to be 10 o'clock, and my kids were like, well, what's happening? You know, she hasn't picked anyone yet. And I was like, you're right. You guys have to go to bed. But I don't think there's going to be an After the Final Rose. And then I started Googling After the Final Rose, and I didn't see anything about it. And I was like, holy shit, we've all been gypped.
Yes.
Well, this is it.
Yeah, they intercut during. So, because we respect Rachel, we are going to have our own After the Final Rose. And we're just going to go over all of those clips that should have been After the Final Rose. and just kind of have our wrap up together. So this is a bonus, but this is a bonus available to everyone. So don't feel gypped, Patreon people, because you're going to be in charge for this one, okay? It's just free for everyone, so you guys know what you're getting with the bonuses. All right, so let's get into it, shall we?
I want to say, macro note, I think that it was very anticlimactic the way they did it this time. I mean, I think they could have made it so that you didn't know if Peter was going to still show up and propose, and then had the limo pull up and had no one get out.
Oh, I agree. That would have been much better.
This was just kind of like sad. The whole thing was sad.
Well, everybody was like so broken. And normally it's two broke, at least since I've been watching, it's two broken people who are like, we're broken, but maybe we can help each other be less broken. And this was more like, I'm broken, and in a way that I don't really even want you around trying to fix me. And then she's like, I'm broken, and I'm never going to find real love anyway, so I might as well choose that, you know, the cheesy guy who won't try and touch me every night. Or whatever, Brian.
Oh, see, I feel like he is going to try and touch her every night, and every morning, and every afternoon.
I don't know. And what do you think, Kate? Do you think there's real chemistry?
No, I think she's in love with Peter. I think that she knew it was a sure thing, felt enormous pressure from producers to leave with the engagement ring that Neil Lane had offered them, and that she probably sleeps tucked into her covers every night, staring at a wall, wondering where she had all let it all go wrong.
I'm a lawyer.
But here's what I think. I think she wasn't really in love with either of them. I think she got so focused on wanting everybody to be in love with her, because that was sort of her whole MO with all the guys, was sort of questioning them, like, where are you? Where are you with me? How close are you to proposing? Are you in love with me? When are you going to say the words, you're in love with me? And I think with Peter, I think he was the one feeling real feelings. And I think she was feeling like he was a challenge, and she was just being really dramatic. I sort of, when she was talking with Chris about, and him, about how she was sort of having a flashback to her old boyfriend, I was understanding that. But the thing was, her old boyfriend she'd been with for 5 years, and this guy she's been with for 5 weeks. So it was very misplaced. And I didn't feel like she was having actual feelings for Peter. I think it was very emotional, but because she was trying to get something from him that he wouldn't give her.
Mm-hmm. So it was like a challenge. Like, what's up? Why are you not totally in love with me? You should be, because everybody on the show has confessed their love for me. So what is wrong with you? That, like, there's something wrong with you. And yeah, absolutely agree.
And I feel like she probably thought it was unfair, because we don't know that she's going to pick him, you know, and he does too. So if he says, okay, fine, will you marry me? I'm in love with you. Will you marry me? She could just be like, no, I just wanted you to say it, because that's like such a normal move on this show, and then make him leave looking like an idiot. And I think part of him was just like, I'm not giving up my pride, because look, there is no American man who's like, I'm only going to ask for someone's hand in marriage once, especially a man that's like about to lose his hair and is like older, you know, and still like in part-time Old Navy jeans. Like, that guy's gonna meet a cheese curd model from Wisconsin, is gonna meet a lawyer and be like, okay, I'll get married to you.
I think what the translation is, not it's not so clear cut that I only want to propose one time in my life. I think what he's trying to say to her is, I don't want to make a complete fool of myself by proposing to you on national television when I'm not totally into you, because this is embarrassing and will follow me the rest of my life, especially when people at the wedding that I actually care about are going to ask me why it never worked out with you.
Right. Well, someone posted on the Facebook for Rose Pricks a while back a screenshot from his Facebook, and his headline on Facebook was, goal to be the next Bachelor, or to be on The Bachelor. So right. I just look at this as a big fake out job. You know, he's getting all the way to the end. You know, maybe he was told, just make it through this show so we can put you on The Bachelor. And so I look at him as like goal achieved. You know, I think he's a big winner.
I think he did a spectacular job. As I always say, you never want to be number one on the show. You want to be number two, because you extend your celebrity for at least another 7 months. And I think that women across America are losing their minds, wanting to be with him, and they all think they have a shot with him, and they also think that they are going to be the one person that's going to turn him. When I'm not even sure he's totally straight. Like, I'm not positive of it yet.
I hope so, because he is too boring to be gay, you know? I miss the times where being gay meant, like, you were funny, or just weird, or fabulous, or liked wearing feathers. I don't know, something. Like, enjoyed Liza Minnelli. I don't like that boring people are now like, I'm gay. What the fuck?
Right.
Yeah. Ronnie, what about on Finding Prince Charming, gay dad?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like the modern world where boring gays are like, we're allowed to be gay too. And I'm, you know, you are. It's not that you don't have rights, but you know, I have the right to disapprove. I want to pick my team on kickball, okay? I would much rather a bitchy old queen who knows, like, musicals than some boring guy who's like, why should I have to march to the gay pride parade? Ugh. Being gay is normal. No, it's not. It's fabulous. Okay, so let's start back at the very beginning of After the Final Rose, where Chris is like, guys, first of all, Chris is coming in blackface today. I think he just got out of Bachelor in Paradise, and Chris has just given up sunblock altogether. He's just so miserable at this point from his divorce that he's like, bye, skin.
Well, I think he was on Bachelor in Paradise having way too good a time. I think he came back with an alcohol problem and a sunburn.
And something like viral from Corinne.
Yeah.
So he's like, will Rachel move forward or will she crash and burn? And then we see a clip of Rachel in a red dress with black jewels that are plastic glued onto it saying, I didn't come here for a boyfriend. I came here for a proposal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, close up of like the homely girls in the audience. There was one girl who like had kind of a crazy smile on her head and a barrette like a baby. It was, the show's really creepy.
And then there were a couple of hardcore lesbians in the front that I was like, you too?
I did too. I know. I totally saw that. I was actually surprised by that. Heartwarmed by it, but surprised.
Yeah. So maybe they're there to support Peter.
Yeah.
Probably. One of my followers said that in Wisconsin, since he's a personal trainer, that you cannot get in his classes. And I just picture him like Travolta style from that like Olivia Newton-John movie where he's wearing like an aerobics outfit and just has, like, nut huggers on. And these girls are just like fawning over him. He's doing just fine.
He looks so bored to be an aerobics instructor. Like, that takes a lot of energy. My mom was a celebrity aerobics instructor in the 80s, okay?
Really?
And that takes some pizzazz, you guys. That was big. I can't imagine Peter being like, lift your legs.
Why does that not surprise me that your mom was an aerobics instructor?
She was an aerobics instructor during the Jane Fonda days of aerobics.
Oh, I aspired to be one, but I was like, that was way too above my pay grade.
I mean, my mom wore clogs, had a unibrow, and wore Holly Hobby dresses, and your mom was an aerobics instructor.
Well, I had those women on my Lebanese side, but my mom was like the white lady, and she's like, I will be famous, and if it takes aerobics, I'll do it. She would lead like big civic center aerobics. Like,
wow.
People would go watch aerobics. Do you remember that time?
It was crazy. Probably. I do.
Yeah. People were like, I'm going to go watch this new aerobics routine by Rhonda. It would be like thousands of people in the Civic Center in El Paso.
Wow.
Her name's Rhonda?
Yeah. Her name is Rhonda and my name is Rondell. So that should answer a lot of questions.
Amazing. Wow.
So
that's so interesting.
Chris is basically like, woo, bro. And he keeps like doing this fist bump thing. Like fist bumping the air and then like pulling his fist downs. He's doing a lot of weird fist bumpy things. And I'm like, you're still the whitest person alive. Just stop. Please just stop trying.
And then he's like, go ahead.
I don't really like him. I find him to be incredibly weird. He's socially awkward and he doesn't know how to formulate sentences. Like, he's nervous. I can't figure him out. I don't know why he signed up for this show.
Well, you can see why he only has like two lines in a show. I mean, they really do just let him come on and say, okay, Rachel, you happy? You ready? Okay, guys. And then he walks away. Like, well, thanks for stopping by, Chris. We just always joke that he's like masturbating behind a porta potty and stuff.
Yeah, it was so awkward, though, when he always seems like he's run out of things to ask. He's like, well, So this lady right here, huh? How about that? Huh?
Hey, Rachel, like, I have a question for you. What rhymes with Rachel? Rachel. That's true. Good point. So what do you think about Rachel rhyming with Rachel, Rachel? What do you really think? Do you like rhymes? How about nursery rhymes? Are those better than like Shakespeare rhymes? Does Shakespeare have to rhyme? It's like Chris.
Yeah.
So, okay. So he's like, this lady knows the three finalists very, very well. I'm like, no, she doesn't. She doesn't know them. Like 20 minute stops with these people. But then they play like Chariots of Fire anyway. And she comes out in peach and not glitter encrusted jangly gown, which I think means she's found happiness or at least peace.
Right. Peace. Definitely.
Yeah. She's not sitting in like metal, you know, cut metal things that are going to hurt her or whatever. So she comes out and he's like, we have never done this before. We're going to do the entire finale together. And also you're black. And she's like, yay, historic. She's like, why do you keep doing this stuff to me? And he's like, history, because historic.
Yep.
So let's see. I love you guys. So basically they just start watching the show together. And he tells her, look, you know what happens at the end, but you haven't been able to see the snot drip out when you get dumped by the cheese curd model yet. Are you going to try to hand your past version of you a Kleenex tonight so she looks less stupid on TV, Rachel? And she's like, I'll try, Chris. So then we get into it. But first, there's an announcement. Congrats, Juan Pablo, for finding a loser to marry. No spinoff. Bye. Who's Juan Pablo?
So Juan Pablo is a guy who was on a few seasons ago. And Kate, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was a contestant first, right? And then they made him the bachelor. And he's a soccer player. And he talks, you know, with an accent. And he So he was on Andy's season.
Yes.
Right, Kate? Yeah. And he was one of the finalists, but he was really cheesy. And I think she slept with him. But then the next day, she felt kind of violated and she kicked him off. So that.
She felt violated?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I might be making
She's
up
like,
a story.
He tried anal. This was offensive.
Something where she felt like grossed out by him.
Okay.
She kicked him off, but then they made him the bachelor. And
which no one understood because he's a garbage person. He treated everyone like dog meat and he would use his daughter as an accessory. Like, oh, I have a daughter, Camila. Like he tried to play that role where like I'm a single father. And anyways, he ends up getting engaged to a girl who had three brain cells and they took that show on the road for a little while. And obviously it didn't end up working out. So now they announced that he's engaged, but nobody cares. Nobody cares so much that they didn't even show a picture of the wedding. They just showed him holding a rose from like a stock photo from 12 years ago.
No one applauded. We paid Getty Images for this photo.
Yeah.
No one cared.
No one applauded. Nobody clapped. Everybody just threw shade.
Yeah. Even the sad girl in the barrette just stayed still. I was like, damn, girl. So Chris is like, so Rachel, you and Peter, you're struggling right now. And she's like, yeah, you could see it. Like the empty vases finally made sense. I was like, I get it now. And he said, everything you hoped for with the guy you spent 13 hours total with was dashed. Soaps were dashed. Were there cracks in the foundation of my face? Because there must be cracks. There's like 12 pounds of foundation on me. Show me a crack. Is this the end of Rachel and Cheese Curd's love story? So then we go through Rachel and Cheese Curd's love story, and it's just like, at first it seems like trouble. Like, the guy's being honest with her, you know? That's all I can say. The guy's just said a million times, I only want to engage when it's real, get engaged when it's real. It's not real. I don't want to get engaged. And she's like, okay, let's fuck instead. So then they go bone, and bells ring, and there's like clothes on a clothesline, and Peter comes out, so they boned, and it looks like it was good. They're all happy, right?
Yeah.
So
are we recapping right now?
No, I'll just say that because we have to talk. I'm just going through the next part. You're right, though. I just start reading those notes. So back to Chris and Rachel.
Didn't Eric come out at this point?
No,
with Chris and Rachel.
No, before that, Chris.
Eric, Oh, okay, okay. You're right. Yeah. We had to do the overnights first. Sorry, guys. So I'm messing everybody up. I'm sorry, okay? So first of all, I want to get engaged. God, I just want somebody to be ready.
First, Chris says to her, all right, so you're pretty confused there. Like, how are you feeling? It's like, well, no shit, Sherlock. We know exactly how she's feeling. She wants to be with that guy and he's not ready. And I love how she looks. She keeps saying to him, like, you're so confusing, Peter. I'm like, there's never been anybody to be less confusing than this man. He's very black and white. He does not want to propose to you. He is not interested in you. So having Chris ask her the question, it's like, we are rehashing what is very evident. So this is a big waste of time.
I know. And it's funny that she just keeps saying, like, you know, it's confusing. What? It's confusing because you are not listening to what the guy is saying. And Chris, the highs and lows on your face, I can see them. Which means you probably need Botox. It's never too early to start, you know? I should not be able to see the highs and lows on your face, Rachel. And she's like, it was so hard. I had three guys, okay? I was in love with three guys. One was named Brian. One was named Peter. One was named Eric. I'm like, we've seen the goddamn show, lady.
I know.
And Chris says, what's it like coming off the Peter roller coaster? No one has ever in his life called Peter a roller coaster.
Never. Not one time. Not one time.
Peter is not a roller coaster. He's like one of those Back to the Future rides that there's a screen right in front of you and you just have to sit there and the chair kind of vibrates while everything else is playing out in front of it.
He's not even a roller coaster in like the kiddie area of Magic Mountain where the roller coasters are really tame. He's not even that.
I just feel like he's the kind of dad that wears like a V-neck sweater and is chopping the hedges in the front yard at the same time every Saturday.
Yes. Yes.
He's the type of dad who his wife comes home, he maybe nods and then continues to read and never pays attention to her. But when the kids and the animals are around, he's like, hi, honey. Oh, he's a good dog. And the wife's just like, great, thanks. I'm glad I could be the oven that brought you children and happens to be able to walk far enough to walk your dog, ass.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the only time he comes to life. So she's like, Peter messed with my head. And he's like, oh, wow. How close were you to not testing out Peter's penis before you dropped that proposal requirement and boned him? And she's like, well, I said, I need to see this. And she did, you know. So good for her. I say good for her for getting laid because she already sent Eric home, right? Oh, no, she did get laid with Eric, too.
Remember after the date he put on the hotel slippers? That's when I knew that he was so gross.
When he put on the hotel slippers? Well,
he put on the robe and the slippers. I mean, who does that?
Who, Eric or Peter?
It was like he had never been in a hotel before. Eric, he was like, holy Eric shit, there's a robe, slippers? Yeah, let's do this.
No, we always joke about that too, because I don't think he had really been in a hotel. And listening to his life story, I was so glad for him. I was like, take every hotel soap, take the pad by the telephone. Like, he showed up in some of those out-of-town trips. He's like, look, I have a wool coat now. Like, I don't know where he found that in the hotel, but I'm glad he got it, you know? Like, that guy really made the most out of this.
Yeah.
And he still probably has those slippers, too. Like, he appreciates.
Oh, for sure.
You know, yeah, he appreciates.
Agreed.
Okay, so after the next segment, which was with a chiropractor, who's like the cheesiest fucker ever. He said not one real thing this entire time.
No. Never.
And Chris is like, I see how much you're struggling. So did anybody have a legit decent penis? Like, at least let us know that. You know, be real about that at least. And she's like, well, it reminded me of what I was like with Nick. Because, like, he didn't bathe and he looked bored too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
How important were these final dates? How important were they? Did you actually think that she was putting a lot of stock in these final dates, or did she already know?
I think that she, like she said, wanted to get married, and she was going to marry the one that was telling her that he was going to propose, and that was Brian. So I think she always knew, like, I'm going to marry Brian, but you know, in case there's a chance that Peter ends up coming around and saying, like, he wants to marry me, then I'll pick him. But barring that, I know she wasn't going to pick Eric, so I don't think there was any chance for Eric.
What did you think, Kate?
I think that she needed to take them out for a spin, and here's why. I think that it's important before you get married to know that if you have sex with someone, like, that they're not going to be the kind of man that lays on top of you after sex, thereby, like, preventing you from breathing and in a sweaty, like, heap of skin. And that if you don't know that, you really can't make it an effective split decision. Decision on whether or not you're going to be, you know, get engaged to somebody that you've known for 15 hours. If you want to be married, get married to somebody you've known for 15 hours. You need to know whether or not they have the common decency to not lay on top of you after sex and prevent you from breathing.
And hopefully you can, like, take a shower with them the next day and see how much hair they leave in the drain. Because, like, there are little things that will make you crazy in the long run. And sexual compatibility is very important. You know, I'm compatible with people a lot of times personality wise that I would assume it's going to be great, but you communicate so differently through sex. You know, it's a very important part of marriage, guys. Don't discount it. There's a reason there's, like, therapy at church, okay, when things are going shitty in your marriage. Most likely because you didn't fuck him first.
She also said that she had used that opportunity, per the advice of Ashton Mila Kunis, to go through their previous arrest records and credit history. I think that she also wanted to see whether or not after sex they brush their teeth, wash their hands, wash their face. Like, that whole thing is a very important component as well.
It is.
It's, like, very important to her, because I'll tell you how I know. She always takes off her makeup before bed, which I respect.
I do too. I do too.
She is the only bachelorette or person on one of these franchises that I saw with no makeup, not a spot of makeup on. And that doesn't happen by accident. Most of these girls wake up and they still have some makeup on their face, which means they don't wash their face. This girl went to the bathroom, brought makeup remover with her, took it all off, had sex, and woke up with a clean face.
Well, she's responsible enough to know, too, that if she leaves those eyelashes on, she's just going to have, like, she won't be able to open her eyes in a couple of years. Like, there's only so much your eyelid muscles can take. And those things are huge.
Right.
Okay, so now that we've got eyelashes out of the way.
But here's what I want to say really quick. I understand that, yes, she had to sleep with all the guys or whatever, you know, get intimate with all of them. But that, I think, Ronnie, what you're asking is, did she need to go on that final date after that? Like, if that was that going to change anything? And I don't think so.
I think it probably would have, because, you know, she was really crying. Okay, we've seen Rachel cry a lot, and this was real crying. This was real, like, ugly face cry, like, ugly cry. We were like, bruh!
You're talking about with the Peter.
When
the
she
Peter
was
date.
With Peter, yeah. So
yeah,
I
don't think that was going to change anything, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm.
I think she just kept hoping that he was going to be, you know, maybe he was just doing it for the cameras, being like, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. And then this one last time after they've been together again, that he would be like, this is it. You're the one. I finally know now that we've been together and we've experienced each other. And
yeah, but her story's not adding up, because she said to Chris in the interview portion that when she really knew it was meant to me was when he met her family. So to go on to this Rioja, Spain trip, to have these overnight sleep, you know, have sex dates, and then the date afterwards, it was pointless if, in fact, she had decided on that hometown date that he was the one. So why is she keeping Peter around? It's because she still holds out hope that maybe he will change his mind. If he had said, I want to marry you and I'm going to propose and I won't resent it later, she would have kicked chiropractor down the street.
I think so, too.
Well, I think maybe she would have kicked Peter off, but they were like, he's going to be the next bachelor, so keep him.
Yes.
Because I think it's pretty obvious he's going to be the next bachelor, right? I mean, he can legit cry. He doesn't talk enough to cause any trouble, you know? He's got a little gap in his tooth, and he's just starting to lose his hair. It's like right where they want him. You know, they've got him right where they want him.
Right.
Yeah, but the only thing is this. But in the beginning days of The Bachelor, they used to get people who had legitimate businesses. I'm talking about Alex Michelle, the first Bachelor, who was in business. Andrew Firestone, his family, had a winery. you can't, in my opinion, be a bachelor that's a personal trainer. That's an issue for me. And number two, how do you say that you're the bachelor after you've just said this 5-6 week journey does not make sense to me? I don't think it's possible to be able to propose to someone and then suddenly say, I've now embraced the journey and I'm going to do this now.
Well,
it makes absolutely
no
sense.
I'll bet you anything that he ends the bachelor season. But like, finally, this was what was missing. Now I really feel the love.
And I didn't know in the Rachel, you know, series that who I really needed to be with is a girl named Diane from West Virginia, who's a nail technician.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Kate.
But
I think it doesn't make a lot of sense.
The
and
last
I,
one, Nick wasn't anything. He was in like, what was he, like an accountant or some shit? Like an account exec or something. And now he's selling skincare on Instagram and trying to become an actor. So,
well, that was because the whole thing was kind of, the whole thing's taking a little dive. We discussed that where they never talked about his job because now Nick was just basically a reality star at that point.
Yeah. Well, it's kind
really
of like
annoying.
Just auditioning for the most Instagram likes. And I don't know that that's a bad thing to do in this day and age.
Yeah.
Like, let the audience choose who they're going to buy their damn skinny tea or their shit
agree.
From, you know? Yeah. So let's see. Chris, was it hard seeing Eric? Wait, there's more. There's something before this. He's like, are you scared to see Eric? And she's like, oh yeah, I'm scared. I'm not going to lie. Because I didn't let him keep that hotel notepad from the fantasy suite. And he's still mad at me. But Eric, you know, Eric was okay. He came out and just leaned on his knees and was like, yeah, I had a lot of fun. Like, it was a lot of fun. Like, how you feeling? How's your heart? Because I felt a lot. And, you know, you felt a lot. And, like, I just thank you for taking me out of town so much. I get so much pussy.
Well, Eric's best revenge was that beard. Because that beard was everything. He looked amazing.
Yeah.
So much cuter than he did when he was on the show. And But he never had a chance with her in the first place. I never understood why she kept him around so long. I think she just felt sorry for him.
I think she really liked him, like, as a person.
Yeah,
and
I
also
agree.
I think she was like, okay, here's your chance. Wait until you see how much pussy you're about to get and how much of a star you're going to be, like, on Instagram with the ladies. So, happy birthday. And he's like, literally from the bottom of my penis, I thank you. I've never had a ball sack this empty, so thank you for what you gave me.
I do think that the third person in the third person from the final is always the person that's like her best friend on the show. They always keep a best friend around just to sort of riff with, but they always know, and man, I'm not going to actually like take this person to the end, but I like hanging out with them.
Yeah, I never get when people say they marry their best friend, because I think back on my best friends and I love my best friends, but gross. And I'm sure they think the same.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's interesting that she even said, I'm glad America got to see how great you are. It just kind of shows that she was more thinking of it as like, hey, I want this guy to have a good time after the show. But yeah, I wasn't that into him.
Eric is a good person, and he deserves a good life. Like, he seems like a good person to me. And I'm glad she didn't pick him, because it would make him fucking crazy. Oh, my God. Could you imagine? She'd be like, sit up straight. Don't be leaning on your knees like that. Don't talk like that. Don't enunciate words like that. Blah, 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 blah. And it would be like, she would kind of have to, I guess, to make him, you know, help him fit in. But that's no fun to not feel like you don't fit in.
I don't feel like
you know what I mean.
I don't think he had true love for her. I think that she treated him like a younger brother.
Yeah.
Yes.
But even that for him, I mean, he didn't seem to really have a lot of that in his real life. So I don't know. Yeah. I thought the whole Eric thing was so sweet. I mean, at first he was crazy, but then, you know, as we got into it, I really liked it. So next up is blah, blah, blah. Eric was kind of boring. Get rid of him. So Rachel's like, oh my God, Journey, vulnerable, walls down. So she starts going over the pros and cons, Peter, Brian, blah, blah, blah. So then they're showing, we'll get to this later, but they keep shutting. I just have to say, I love the part where Peter is in his hotel room looking really pensive at sunset journaling in bed.
The best. Just doing his writing.
What I would do to just read a page out of that.
It's like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure. Hmm. Dot, dot, dot. I think he probably writes in really big cursive font.
I disagree completely. He writes in incredibly small font, and it's all capital letters and very neat because he's so bored that he writes 1, 2, 3, like he writes from 1 to 25 over and over again.
Red rum, red rum, red rum, red rum.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm skipping past all the scene parts. Let's see. Studio, Rachel is silent after watching the sobbing scene with Peter. And Chris is like, God, I have seen a lot of breakups. And this was harder than when I got dumped. And my wife threw a toaster at my head. I mean, this was frustrating. And she's like, it must have been frustrating. And she's like, that's the exact word, frustrating. It was frustrating, and it is frustrating, frustrating. And then she says frustrating like 30 times in the next 20 minutes.
I love when he goes, well, I didn't feel like you guys, you know, really got any closure. And she's like, yeah, we did. We broke up. He's like, oh, okay, never mind.
He's like, but remember, like that kiss. And then those tears. Really well done. Really well done.
Yeah. But did you guys just really, did you break up though? Because I didn't feel like you even said goodbye. She's like, yeah, we did.
She's like, I cried my eyelashes off for the first time this season. And he's like, oh my God, that's historic. She's like, right.
Yeah.
Although at the same time, I did think that her breasts were heaving towards him. And my husband walked through the door and he sat down for a moment and he looked at the screen and he said, is that woman in love with him? And I said, you know what? You're damn right. She still is.
I think she is. Yeah. I think she did like him the best because that she was really crying. She cried her eyelashes off and their kiss is more real. Like when they were kissing and crying at the same time. And then when she walked away and all her tears were on his shirt and then he took off his shirt and then cried into it on her tears. I mean, if that's fake, good job. Like, if there's anyone who can fake it like that with me, I don't even care if you're faking it.
Yeah, but can I tell you guys something? Part of the reason why there was so much passion there was because it was an unwinnable situation, and she knew that. So that was the desperate, like, drama. Like, maybe my kisses will make him change his mind, even though I know he won't change his mind. It was like that sadness.
But it was like believable sadness because then she would like lean on the wall and she's like, but I'm not leaving yet. And then they would cry some more. And
right,
Chris,
but it's drama. It wasn't real. It was real, but it was, she probably did feel those really deep emotions, but it was because he wasn't into her.
She was like Michelle Pfeiffer in Grease 2. And I felt like Brian was Adrian Zemed. And that Peter was Maxwell Caulfield, where she wanted him and he was just too like obtruse. Like he was just so square. And Adrian Zemed had a little edge to him. But in the end, she ended up, unlike Grease 2, she chose the loser who wore the leather jacket. And she's never going to be happy because you should always choose Maxwell Caulfield.
Yes. Okay. You know,
even looks like Maxwell Caulfield.
I'm not even no-butting you, but I have to say, now that you said that, because I love me some Grease, too. I want a cool rider. Okay, you remember when Michelle Pfeiffer, well, really every song, but the one where she climbs up on that ladder and she's, like, sad.
Do you really want to know what I want in a guy?
Yeah.
You bet your ass I know every word of that movie. Yes.
That look in her eyes is Peter. That's the look that he has in his eyes. And he's like,
when I'm looking for a dream on a mean machine with hell in his eyes. Yep.
Yes. He's like, you don't have a mean machine or hell in your eyes. You know?
Yeah.
He's like, you have a lawyer job. And I'm very bored with you. And I wish I could love you because I feel dead inside that I can't feel love. And maybe I am dead inside. But that makes him less dead inside. It's like, oh my God. Michelle Pfeiffer just saved Peter for me in this season.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. So Peter comes out and Chris is like, what was that like? How you didn't have that incomplete breakup? You know, did it feel like a shelf from IKEA where someone lost the L-wrench before the last couple of nuts were put in and the shelf is always, you know, wobbling and you're wondering how to make it right?
She's like, wait, are you talking about foundation? Because wait, there was foundation. I mean, there was a crack in it. but there was foundation. Is that what you mean? He's like, no, I'm talking about an IKEA shelf. She's like, oh, okay, because I thought you meant foundation.
She's like, never mind. Was frustrating of you. That was very frustrating.
She's like, Chris, remember when you were asking me if it was like an IKEA shelf, but I thought you were talking about foundation? He's so like, yeah, that was a minute ago. She's like, yeah, that was really frustrating. I'm still frustrated.
I like when Peter's like, oh, this was really hard, and I'm shaking like a leaf. I'm terrified. Like, you are like a robot with Michelle Pfeiffer eyes, like Michelle Pfeiffer sadness in its eyes, you know? It's like the only part of the robot that moves properly is those eyes, because there's something there, but it's really dark and sad and really plain. It's like if vanilla ice cream started to cry. It's weird.
Right. Agreed.
It feels weird. You know, it's like, yep, either feel things or don't, but don't make me dig, because you're a cheese curd bottle, okay?
But did you think it was interesting that she started throwing him so much shade? I know I've just said shade like four times in this conversation, but
You're very Chris. You're very urban Chris.
Yeah, I'm very, like, you know, gonna raise the roof and, like, but I'm just trying to keep it 100, you guys. Look, what I'm saying is that she started going, like, you know, the whole thing where she was like, I'm living my best life. And maybe, you know what, maybe a show like this just isn't for you, because, you know, if you can't get there in 7 weeks, it's like, no, maybe a show like this isn't for anybody, Rachel, besides you.
Yeah. She's still trying to convince herself that it's him. It's not her. It's not him. He didn't like you. You were not enough for him. He couldn't explain that to you anymore. I mean, you know, he explained it enough times to you. You were not enough. You were not what he was looking for. It's not the timeline. It's not the show. Well, you were not it.
She made it sound like, well, you know, the short time, it's just not for you. You're not that kind of person. You need more time, and that's okay, because that's just you. Like, you just need more time. Like, it's a fault that you would need more time to fall in love with somebody on TV.
Right. Like, I'm just a more decisive person, because, you know, I don't know if it's because I'm just smarter or what my deal is, but I just kind of know what I want. That's just me. But you're the kind of person who's really indecisive, and that's just you. You know, you'll probably never be happy, and that's just you. But, you know, I mean, we're just different people. I'm the kind of person who, you know, wants to be happy, and you're just not. And that's great. That's awesome for you.
I like that she seemed to have some kind of understanding. And I like that she corrected the editing, too, because she said it's the whole, you know, they made it seem like the whole focal point was that you wouldn't propose, but it was other stuff. You know, it wasn't just that you wouldn't propose. Like, we were talking in Geneva, and we talked about not being in the same place, and then you wanted to stay, so you still stayed. And if you weren't in the right place, you should have just left. I mean, what the hell, you know? I was like, geez. So then she went into her whole, like, look, my emotion came from my past relationships. Like, so don't flatter yourself, okay? Because he said all the things that you said. Well, whenever somebody says I was triggered, I have... I generally have a hard time with that, when they're like, yes, I was triggered, and she said that, and I'm like, I get it, but your unresolved issues are like your own thing. And, you know, if you're with somebody all the time that doesn't want to be with you the same way, it's not that you're a bad person, because obviously Rachel's not. She's beautiful, she's successful, she's intelligent, but she can just fall in love with anybody, and that's not normal, you know?
No.
Just to want marriage more than you want love it's not normal. It's sad.
Well, I didn't what I meant by did you buy that was I didn't buy the fact that she was, you know, trying to blame it just on the editing. It's like, I don't, you can't, of course things are taken out of context, but how many times did she say, well, but I just want to be with somebody who's ready to propose.
Agreed.
But I just want you to be able to propose. It's like, and he kept saying to her, but I do want to be with you.
Yeah.
I want to be with you. I thought he was trying to tell her. I didn't think he was saying, I'm not into you. I thought he was saying, I'm very into you, to the point that I will propose if that's the only way for you to understand that I want to be with you. I will go against what I really think is the right thing, and I will propose to show you how serious I am. And then she's like, well, no, I don't want you to do it if you feel like you have to.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what the fuck do you want then?
Why do you have to get engaged? I mean, there's no rule that says you have to get engaged. Would it really blow people's hair back for you to say, you know, let's just take it easy and 4 months from now, circle back and see if Nia Lane still is standing on a cliff somewhere in the middle of Spain and we'll do this thing the right way.
No, girl, I say still take the free diamond from that old queen. Get down on your knees and say, look, this is a promise ring. And we are going steady with the intention of getting engaged. You know, that is kind of how shit works now. People do that. They get engaged to be engaged. You still get a party. It's like an extra party. But I also understand what she's saying, where she's like, I've heard this from men forever. We just need more time. We just need more time. And then you motherfuckers ain't ready. Like, when people are ready, they're ready. Look at you. You're a model. You're teaching aerobics classes. You're pretending to write in a journal that you got on the sale rack from Barnes & Noble. And you're starting to lose the front lines of your hair. So I get that this is your last chance while you still got your looks to snag someone, because the aerobics job ain't going to get it. And you just want to make sure it's right. Just say that, you know. And he did. I mean, except for the bald part. But he did. Well, and she just couldn't get it.
Well, what's possible is that he actually didn't want to marry her. And it's what we're saying all along, which is that he wanted to be the bachelor and he has dreams of being a reality TV star. So he didn't want to, like, his whole thing to be that she's the one and that he's going to marry her, because he wanted to stay open to being on The Bachelor. So maybe she kind of got that. Is that possible?
I felt like they were both kind of expressing real things, which is weird because on one hand, I feel like he's just like, okay, I'm going to be the bachelor and I'm acting. And a lot of it, of course, is like pose by the sunset and get tears in your eyes while you journal. But then I don't usually believe anybody on these shows. And I believed him and I believed her when they were both crying in the hallway and kissing and stuff. So I don't really know what to think. Here's the bigger question. Why didn't this fucking sleazeball Brian... This shows how fake his ass is. He didn't even care. It's like the entire finale is her sobbing that she's not getting Peter. And right. She's like, I'm going to take the one that I don't love as much because he's ready. And if it means... And Peter even told her when they were crying, and he said, okay, fine, then pick somebody else and have a mediocre life. She's like, why would that mean I'm going to have a mediocre life? Because you're crying with him right now, saying you're in love with him.
Oh, and my
you're
God, picking exactly.
Some guy with chipmunk cheeks who hasn't said one real goddamn thing this entire season. You picked him. You're going to have a mediocre life.
Exactly. Exactly. She's all offended about it. It's like, but that is what you're saying. You're saying, I want to pick the person who's going to propose. Well, okay. But then is this fake? Are you faking this? These tears?
What do you think? I've
always felt like he was auditioning, using this opportunity as an audition to be a host on the E! Network. And yes. To my point of Grease, too, in earlier, I did feel in a moment when he proposed to her that he would start singing to her a love ballad of sorts, perhaps even You Are the one in my dreams from Grease 2. I'm not sure. But that guy doesn't give two shits the fact that she boned somebody else like a couple nights before, if not the night before, they actually got engaged. He is looking at the end game. So to sit on a stage with Chris Harrison and to sit next to a girl who just 3 minutes previously was shown footage of her crying about someone else, he doesn't care because it's all the end game for him.
And then he had to sit there and watch them both on stage together looking so awkward and upset. And he's like heartbroken that he did that. And she's obviously figured out a way to justify it, but there's obviously so much there still. And he's like, I'm so happy. Hey, Rachel. And he gets down on one knee and he's like, oh, my that puta cabra. So I love you de amor de sisto. Forever and ever. Chico cabra. La cucaracha. Mi amor. It's like, ugh, you're gross.
I can't believe that she's really happy with this guy. He's totally cheesy. She's really going to take him back to the law firm and say, this is the loser that I got engaged to. I just don't see it really working out.
Yeah, that's the guy at the law firm Christmas party that you're getting him a drink. You're like, I'll be good to my man and get him a drink. And then you're on your way back and you see him leaning up at the Xerox talking like the 20-year-old intern, you know?
And her boss is like, Rachel, Brian here, I know, he just told me that he tap dances. You never told me that.
Hey, everybody. Rachel's husband wants to sing us a song. Everybody gather around.
And did you notice that she made it clear that her family is still not on board?
Yes.
She's like, well, they trust me. You know.
No, they don't.
I mean, they're still suspicious, but they trust that I know what I'm doing.
And he's like, listen, my mom just talked to her. They've only spoken 3 times. However, they had a conference call on speakerphone, and she says she's going to think about welcoming her into our family. Should I cut the umbilical cord off? Like, no. Your mother will never accept her, psycho. She's in love with him. Like, he will never leave her loving arms.
Yes. That's what Rachel wants more than anything, is to be the final married one in her family. And it's sad. And her family thinks it's sad. And they look at her, like last season when Vanessa went to her hometown with Nick. And she had that huge Italian family. And they're like, please, don't hurt her like the others. We can't take it again. When she falls down crying and gets locked up in hospital, please don't do this to Vanessa. And then her brother's sobbing. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God.
You mean the brother who looked like he was in the Dark Crystal?
Yes, who was in love with her. And she's like, I ride you like as my flying hairy worm. Oh, that's a never-ending story. Oh. But you know what I mean.
How about when Peter goes to her, can you really look at me and say you want to spend the rest of your life with me? And she's like, well, I can't answer that. Meaning I'm on a reality show. I can't give away the ending.
So stupid.
Well, and also, and I can't tell you that because I'm probably going to end up with Brian. And like, how am I going to explain that in After the Final Rose, which I don't know is canceled yet.
Yeah, it was bizarre that Brian never had one thing to say about that. Like, wow, that was really hard to watch.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's great. I'm going to re-propose right now. You know, on a Real Housewives show, the sign of an upcoming divorce is when people renew their vows. And 100%. This motherfucker just renewed the engagement vows. I mean, that's sad.
You know what? You've never made a more valid point in your entire life.
You know, I just try and get more valid day by day, Kate.
The whole thing was just sad and empty.
It was empty.
And Chris wasn't helping.
And I feel like that's kind of the point of the show. Like, when JoJo picked, you know, Heron Rogers, I didn't feel elated, but I did feel like they're both kind of jerks and deserve each other in a way, even though I like JoJo. But I was like, they deserve each other. But, you know, I feel like she knew. I feel like JoJo was like, well, he's kind of famous. His brother may start talking to me, at least. And, you know, he's going to be emotionally abusive. But at least I'll have a baby. Like, I feel like she knew what she was getting and was fine with it. This I don't like.
But I will tell you something. Kate, help me out with this. A few seasons ago, this happened. Same thing. And the Bachelorette, but I cannot remember her name, the guy that she was really into, did he leave? Did he like break up with her? And so she ended up with the other guy. And I think they're married now.
Yes. Her name was Desiree.
Yes.
She did marry him and they just had a baby. I still continue to believe that she's not in a happy marriage.
You think?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Every time I see her in interviews, I just feel like she goes home and cries in her shower with the door locked.
Yeah.
So you remember what I'm talking about, right? It was one of the things that the people were saying the exact same thing as we're saying now. It was like, oh, she really was like, she loved the other guy, but he wasn't ready to get married. Or so she was like, damn it. And she cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And then was like, how? And then everybody was like, well, how is she going to what's she going to do? And then the other guy proposed and she was like, sure, great, let's do this.
Well,
it was weird for the other guy.
I feel like it happens a lot in real life, you know? I mean, I've been to a few weddings where it's like, oh God, I remember how my girlfriend was so in love with that guy. And now she's with this schlub because, you know, it's not as exciting or whatever, but she likes him and she loves him in a way. And he really loves her and he'll do whatever and he'll work to make it okay. And like sometimes just being from an old country Lebanese family where there was arranged marriages and a lot of that, I can kind of see that, how that can kind of work. But, you know, you do have to kill a part of yourself that believes in 80s love. Or maybe you can find 80s love like years down the line with this person you just thought you were settling for, but then really turns out to be the love of your life or whatever. So who knows? I just don't see that happening with Brian. Yikes.
Yeah, no. I agree. His kisses are too disgusting. Yeah.
He's going to end up with somebody from the Midwest. He's never going to leave his house. Like, he would never have moved to Dallas for her. He was pretty happy in the Midwest with his group of friends that don't understand why he signed up for the show.
Yeah. Brian will definitely move. He will be in a nice apartment that she's paying for while he does jack shit. He'll order food in the middle of the day while she's at work and answer the door in a towel with his, you know, dick, like, helicoptered a little bit, so it's semi. Like, he's just that guy. He's disgusting. Yeah. He's always going to be disgusting.
And he wants to move to L.A. They already floated it. I hate it when they do this. He's like, yeah, you know, we might be in L.A. We might move to L.A. Okay, listen, not every fucking person can be on Dancing with the Stars, so settle down.
She will be, though. I mean, and that's the thing. I think she'll be successful doing all of this, like, hosting stuff and all of that. But he won't. He's just going to keep fucking his way up those hills, girl. Till he's in the middle of the valley side.
Well, I think we got it all figured out.
Yeah, well, guys. You know,
I wrote my own proposal just in case I was the bachelor.
Okay, who are you going to propose to?
Rachel? In case I was one of the finalists, this is what I would have said to her.
Okay.
On that hill. Are you okay? Ready?
Yeah, do it.
Dear Rachel, the moment I was told...
Do you want me to be the really loud wind?
Boom, 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 boom.
Grab the mic. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Your wig! Go on.
Oh, exactly. Dear Rachel, the moment I was told you would be the bachelorette in a hallway at a Ramada Inn, I knew we were meant to be. Although it took me several drafts of a psychological exam and $5,000 I don't have in clothes charged to my credit card, I knew that this experience has enriched me. I've learned in the 6 weeks I was kept captive that I will do anything in my pursuit for love, even if it means losing my job, my room in the apartment I rented with four other people, and what little self-respect I had. You complete me, Rachel. I don't really know you that well, but you make me feel like a better man. You've taught me that even though I was one of 24 other fame-starved men vying for a spot to be on the cover of Us magazine, what we have is real. So I will take your hand in love and branding, promising to love you in sickness and in Instagram endorsement deals, for better or for worse, and even only if it gets one of us an offer on Dancing with the Stars. I will choose to forget the fact that you boned my best friend in this journey the night before I proposed, that you liked his family more, and that I secretly resent the fact that he will be the next bachelor, thereby extending his fame for 7 more months. See, what I'm trying to say is that I'm in love with you. I'm in love with love and the idea of you and one of us as a collective unit sitting together getting interviewed by George Stephanopoulos on Good Morning America. You are you, and it's here, and it's now, and it's us. Will you marry me?
Kate, I would totally marry you after that compared to what his real one was. Because his real one, his second one, he's like, you're like a chemistry explosion. You're like a chemical spill on the freeway. You try to avoid it, but then you can't. Then you're toxic.
Do you think he was like a C student?
I think he probably got blowjobs from like homely girls, and they did his homework for most classes. And then he was good at some kind of sport or something that like pulled him through.
Fencing, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. Like jousting or some shit. I was going to say table tennis, but that's actually, like, way more personality.
I really liked your proposal, but I think that you were missing the word process.
Oh, you're right.
Peter said process probably 1,000 times on his journey.
You know, this process through this journey, it's been frustrating, okay? Walls up, empty vases, vulnerable.
I mean, even when he was crying, he managed to slip in process. He'd be like, I just really thought I'd be further along in this process.
And then he goes, what's wrong with me? As she left. What's wrong with me? Nothing, Peter. Nothing. You're fine. You're an angel wing dove. You are fine.
Yeah, you just didn't try hard enough in life, and you're losing your hair and still single. So, you know, those are all things that can be fixed. I'm bald, you know, and still single and, you know, really don't have any discernible job. And I'm totally happy. So I'd like to thank everybody for joining us for this season of Rose Freaks. Kate, thank you so much for coming on and doing a nice After the Rose wrap up with us.
You're fab. So
I love and adore you both.
I love you. I'm so glad we became friends. Please tell everybody where they can find you so I don't fuck it up.
I love you too, Kate, but I'm not in love with you. But I think America's really seen what you're all about, and they're going to love you.
Steph, you're just not there yet, okay? And it's frustrating, but it's you. So
you are you, and it's here, and it's now, and it's us.
Yeah.
You can find my website, loveandknuckles.com. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey, Instagram at Kate Casey CA, Facebook, Love and Knuckles. My podcast is called Reality Life with Kate Casey. It comes out every Friday. And if you ever wondered what has happened to someone on The Real World or The Bachelor or Sister Wives, or just want to know if anybody else is watching 90 Day Fiancé, I'm your woman.
Yes, Kate covers all of it. Kate, thank you so much. As for me and Steph, you guys can come to rosepricks.com to get all the episodes, and also all our bonus episodes are there. And thanks to all of our premium subscribers this season. We really appreciate you guys being with us. Like we said earlier, this bonus is free. Most of them are premium bonuses. They are always super fun. And we love doing them, everybody. Thanks so much for a great season. And I'm acting like it's goodbye, but we'll be back next week for 4 hours of Bachelor in Paradise.
Woo woo!
Heaven.
Boy.
Bye.
Bye.